Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Hour of Enlightenment. I am your host, Jake Fife, and it's weird being black, being back here on Blog Talk Radio, where the past 4 months I've been on Mixler, but I have a special guest tonight, so I went ahead and made the switch for this show back to Blog Talk. So tonight I will be joined by Barbara Ramsey, and she is a medium/paranormal investigator. And she's had some interesting experiences in her career in the paranormal field, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We're also going to get her thoughts on the paranormal field in general. So without further ado, let me bring her on. Barbara, are you here with us?
Hi, how are you? Yeah, hi, how are you?
Doing good, how are you?
Good.
I'm doing good, how are you?
Perfect.
So to start off the show, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, ever since I was younger, you know, things have happened that I couldn't explain, like when family members would pass on. For some reason, I would always, they'd end up coming to me later, like a couple months or so later. Like I saw my aunt as like an angelic type of thing, showed up in my bedroom. And then, you know, when car accidents would happen with a close family member, I always remember that happening before it happened. And when my great-grandparents died, who I was extremely close with, you know, things started happening around the house. We would constantly, you know, we had nicknames. We're from down south, so our name was never what our name was. And we would constantly hear our nicknames being said around the house.
Oh, so you weren't the only one experiencing it.
No, my father also, well, my whole family, basically, it's clairvoyant, medium, psychic medium. So everyone in my family has, even my 8-year-old son, you know, he had a friend named Tommy in our old apartment, but I think he's now to the point where he blocks it. Completely okay, because it kind of scares him at this point. He calls me the crazy ghost lady.
And it's perfectly understandable to have that reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had all these experiences growing up coming from a clairvoyant family. When did you start researching and trying to contact the other side?
Well, it was always when they would come to me, I'd always be like, you know, am I going crazy? Because I wasn't for sure what was going on. And then it took, you know, I didn't give myself a name because at that point I didn't understand it. So I always question things, like, why do people come to me? Why, you know, I have these vivid memories that have never happened, but, you know, happened after they had passed on, or them coming to visit me, which I don't remember, you know, I don't know how that ever happened. And it wasn't until, you know, I was on an investigation that, you know, something had channeled through me, and everyone was like, you know, you're a medium. This is what mediums do. You know, will channel through you. They'll talk, you know, they'll give you what they want to say without saying it. And it's happened countless times. Like, they'll use my energy or they'll talk through me or I'll feel their emotions, their love, their compassion, or I'll feel their anger, their sadness.
So why do you think the spirits choose you to channel through?
I couldn't tell you. I could, maybe my interest in it, and because, you know, my long line of people that were mediums or psychics and stuff like that. I mean, it goes all the way back, you know, that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that a lot of skeptics and people like that, when they hear stories like this, they're always like, well, why doesn't this happen to everyone else? What is so different about these people? And it's hard to give them an explanation without making yourself sound silly to them, because with skeptics, of course, they want actual facts and proof that they can see right in front of them. And with something like this, it's more of something you feel on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you can show on paper or anything like that. So have you had problems with people saying that you're – well, for lack of a better term, for crazy, or you're making this up or anything like that?
I mean, I myself call myself crazy because, like I said, I also don't completely understand myself at the moment. I'm still learning because this is something new. Other than things like, you know, that happened to me when I was younger, you know, I didn't say, oh, I can talk to ghosts. I just figured, you know, they watched over me. So
yeah, they're like guardian angel type stuff.
Like, yes. And, you know, to this day, my great-grandfather is with me. I've had mediums, psychic mediums, you know, other people tell me that, you know, my great-grandfather is still with me. He goes with me everywhere. I mean, last night I was on an investigation where his name thing came through, clear as day, again, on the ovulus.
Huh.
So it's like these things you can't get away from. Like, they're always with you.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way back to, I have native roots also.
Wow, that's, I mean, you've got the complete perfect recipe for a medium.
Yeah. And I still, to this day, you know, I don't necessarily call myself a medium because once I understand it, I may call myself a, you know, but I don't understand.
Right.
I'm still in that phase as everyone else. Am I crazy? But I know I'm not because, you know, I'll go on these investigations and I'll get these thoughts, emotions, feelings that I can't explain to you that aren't mine.
It's interesting. I've had similar experiences at various locations in the paranormal field. And like you,
okay.
I don't really call myself a medium. It's just I think the spirits or anyone has the potential to receive messages that some people completely block it out. They don't want anything to do with it. And then there's some people to where the spirits are able to heavily influence to where even if the person is trying to block it in their mind, the spirits are still able to get it through.
Yeah. And I think I opened myself up to it. You know, I questioned things. I constantly question things. Well, if this is you, can you do this? Can you do that for me? Can you do this for me? Because I myself need validation. I can't go to the public with something that I don't stand behind, that I'm not sure of.
Right.
So I want to get as much proof as I can that this thing, you know, whatever investigation I'm on, that this thing is real.
Yeah, and I bet it's frustrating because you're hearing the voices in your head, you're seeing things, but for some strange reason, the audio recorders and the video cameras aren't able to pick it up. I'm sure that's something that will make back your hair.
It does. You know, like I said, I was on an investigation last night. We kept hearing knocks. The ovulus was going off. But, you know, and I could, overwhelming fear, you know, emotions were coming through. At one point, I was crying. At one point, I felt like I, you know, I was the king of the castle, and I was supposed to deliver that message. But, again, I don't have proof of any of that. I can take a picture, but who's to say that that orb or mist or face is what it is?
Yeah, and that's no matter how perfect of a photo you get, there's of course always going to be the skeptics that say it was photoshopped or double exposure or something like that. That's just one of the parts of being a paranormal investigator, and it's hard to accept it when you're so headstrong into proving it. It's just something you have to eventually learn to deal with. Now, you don't be disrespectful to the skeptics, of course.
Not at all.
You be as professional as you can. So you mentioned using an ovilus. What other equipment do you use on investigations?
We have the ovilus, we have a K2, we have the spirit box. I mean, we have, I don't even know what this new thing we got is. You hook it up to a piece of copper, and it acts like a trigger object. I mean, there's voice recorders, digital cameras, infrared cameras we have now. There's tons of equipment, tons.
So do you think equipment like this helps the spirits communicate with you, or do you think that with all the electronics around, do you think it hinders them?
Honestly, I don't think you need equipment to investigate. You have that ability. You don't need equipment. you know, you can feel, you can sense, and you can see things on your own, so you don't necessarily need any equipment at all. Equipment is another way to validate it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll be honest, I have never really thought about that. Because when you think about it, it's just you're going into a place, you're asking questions, and you're seeing things, and you're hearing things with your own ear. And like you said, the equipment there is just for validation to show other people. So, that's something I never really thought about before.
Yeah, the other day I was just doing a random video and just at my house. And I got a female voice, you know, a familiar voice that came through, and she said, watch, I believe she said, I can do it. And then, you know, I didn't realize it until later she had said it. And then the next recording I did, she said, oh, no. Like, you know, we had caught her talking. You know, who she was talking to saying she can do it, I don't know. But we caught her saying, I can do it, and it was clear as day. So, you know, you do get lucky.
Oh, heck yeah. And I know a lot of my clips, and I know a lot of everyone else's clips out there, it's you're asking if anyone's there, and you hear a voice that'll say something like, take out the trash or something like that, and you're sitting there scratching your head like, that's not what I asked.
I
so
already did.
Could it be could it be that when you die, you go to somewhere else, and it's just like Earth, except for they're not a part of our Earth? They're in like an alternate Earth, and like sometimes it slips through?
Yeah. I believe that there's spirits that, you know, they're stuck not understanding what's going on, so they're still living their everyday life. And I do believe there's spirits, you know, that are negative or positive. And I do believe that, you know, some don't understand what's going on. You know, they could be passed on, and then they're like, well, why are these people in the basement of my house? You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
So it could be, you know, they're not understanding where they are. And then there's some that are still trapped in, you know, the situation of when they died, of living that routine, you know, take out the trash. That's what they do every day.
Right. It's interesting. When you start talking about that, you start getting into interdimensional stuff, dimension shifts, and things like that. So I wanted to ask you real quick, what was the very first paranormal experience you had that kind of sticks out in your mind?
The very first one I've had was I was on an investigation at a mansion out in Pennsylvania, the Haldeman Mansion. And I was in the basement. It was a group of people. And I'm sitting there, and automatically this name comes to my mouth instantly. I keep repeating it, and I keep being told the name is wrong. But I'm like, no, that's who's here. And then as I sit there, you know, it's like my feelings went from compassion and this to a certain person, and then it went to extreme hate. But at the same time, that person was complaining that they were being held down. So I believe that whoever channeled through me had that love and compassion towards that person, but the hate came from them being held down by something. And that's something I'll never forget. Because that was the first time that something had ever channeled through me. She used, you know, my voice wasn't myself. My eyes were black. It was just an intense and I remember, you know, I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild. And that's definitely.
And that was my first experience. Yeah, that was my very first experience with anything like that. So it kind of scared me to go forward because I'm like, well, what's going to happen next? You know, what does she want me to do next?
Yeah, man, it's like if this can do that here, imagine in other places with even worse claims, what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
what
are your methods of investigation? How do you conduct an investigation?
recently, you know, I just started getting more equipment and stuff like that. And like I said, equipment is more for validation. My own feelings is something else. I could, you know, what was it? Last weekend, I came up to Staten Island, and I went on an investigation to, I forget exactly the name of the place, but we walked in the woods, we did all this, and then we get to this house. You know, and it's a house that was built God knows how many years ago. It was all caved in. And my thing was, my first feeling was pain, torture, and stuff like that. Now, we had equipment set up. We had voice recorders. We had K2. You know, we had a REM pod. We've had so much equipment, taking pictures. We caught nothing on any of them. But my personal feelings is my only equipment that I can really go by. Because they, you know, if you think about it, if I put, you know, if you're passed on and someone says, well, I have this black box on the table, if you touch it, it's going to make a noise. Am I going to touch it or not? You know, in my eyes, I'm most likely not going to touch it.
Right. Yeah, especially if, like you said earlier, a person doesn't know they're passed on, they see just random strangers come into their house,
yeah,
and they're saying,
yeah,
touch a little black box and lights will show up. And they're probably thinking,
mm-hmm,
well, why can't I just talk to you? You're sitting right,
yeah,
there, and that's probably where a lot of the personal experiences come from,
yeah,
is stuff like that.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned that place in Staten Island, the abandoned,
mm-hmm,
buildings. Why do you think abandoned buildings are haunted? And do you think that people have to be around for a place to be haunted?
No, not necessarily. Now, the abandoned buildings have a history behind it. You got to think of who lived there, you know, 200 years ago or more.
Yeah.
You got to think of what the building once was. Was it a turculent, I can never say it. Tuberculosis, you know, thing, or, you know, were mentally challenged kids there? Was there a murder that took place there? You never know the history of a house. You never know the true history of a building out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so you don't know what that history holds.
Yeah, and it's even cooler when you learn pieces of that location's,
mm-hmm,
history through personal experiences, spirit box clips, EVP clips. And for,
yeah,
me, I'm a history buff, and that's a whole lot,
yeah,
of the fun,
yeah,
of the paranormal field is,
yeah,
learning the hidden history or getting historical validation,
mm-hmm,
from the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like I said, Staten Island right now is where I'm investigating the most at the moment. So, you know, I come up here every weekend. We try a new spot. And it's, you know, regardless of equipment, you never know what happened. There's a lot of things that took place, you know, all over Staten Island. There's,
oh, heck yeah,
you know, murders that took place. There's all types of things. I mean, you could go anywhere, any abandoned, and an abandoned building doesn't have to be, you know, there's people that stay in abandoned buildings now because that's their only shelter. But do they,
yeah,
witness the same things I witness? And that, you know, you never know.
Yeah, you would think they would.
Yeah, yeah. Because some of those places are a little, almost a little too much for me.
Yeah, I know close to where I live in the surrounding communities, we have a lot of houses from the Civil War. And my experience,
yeah,
with houses built around that time is typically they're haunted. And,
yeah,
I'm a part of the group that thinks a person doesn't have to die at a place for it to be haunted. So
no.
I do wonder,
no,
for some of these houses, if people do experience things, and sadly they don't post about it online or anything like that, but who knows,
yeah,
what could be going on at some of these places, especially abandoned,
oh, yeah,
where it's out in the middle of the,
yeah,
woods. It's like a Blair Witch Project type feel.
Basically, yeah. Yep. You never know, you know, like you said, you have to do your research to find out the history of it, and it goes back, and it goes back, and it goes back. So you're not looking at one death here. You're looking at, like I said, you know, a place could have been somewhere where they treated tuberculosis, treated mentally challenged children. That, you know, they could have treated anything. You know, that's tons and tons and tons of death. Especially with tuberculosis, there's tuberculosis places all over.
Oh, yeah, especially, I know up north, a lot of those people had the in-house care, and especially during pre-1900s when the doctor would show up at your house, you wouldn't go necessarily to a hospital or medical hospital. So if you were going to be treated for anything or you were going to take your final breath somewhere, it was going to be in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like... my house, I didn't know that there were three deaths and that some of them were probably in my room. I was doing some research and I just came across a few records that said there were deaths here, and I was looking at old architecture designs, blueprints, and I noticed that pre-1890s most master bedrooms and things like that were the head of the house would say they're always at the front of the house. And so I was like, huh, so I have one of two rooms at the front of the house. I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but stuff like that helps because I know when I go on an investigation somewhere, I'll be like, okay, the front two rooms of this house are haunted because someone probably died here.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the house I'm at currently, apparently there was a military silo or something that blew up here. And there's a military soldier that actually, you know, he thinks he can run the house here. Well, you know, he can't. You know, there are certain people in charge and stuff like that. But that's what we had found out, you know, doing research and stuff like that, is that, you know, something bad did happen. You know, these people burnt to death. You know, God knows what happened to them. But this is where they were, so instead of going anywhere else, they stayed. So that's what we did last night. We did a little investigation to see if we could get anything. And, you know, the ovulus was spitting off, you know, general, you know, all types of words. And then you could smell the smoke.
Right.
And that's like when I said I was getting the overwhelming feeling of, this is my house. This is my house. So he doesn't quite understand that it is no longer his house. You know, he can reside in it.
Yeah, and of course, being a soldier, you're taught to always be in control of the situation, and that could have been, he could have been in charge of that silo.
Yeah.
He still thinks he's in command.
Yeah. Yep.
So, going back to your abilities, how do you feel your abilities helps gather evidence on investigations?
Right now, I feel like they do help a lot because I can feel the emotional aspect of how that person felt at that moment. You know, whatever moment they decide to show me, whether it's the moment they passed on, whether it's how they feel right now, you know, I usually get the overwhelming fear, and I associate that with, well, we've got strangers in your area. How would you think I would feel scared, too, if there were strangers invading my space?
With a bunch of weird
electronics. So it's like I'm sorry?
I said with a lot of weird equipment.
The equipment, it's they don't know what it is, and you can explain to them 1,000 times over what the equipment does. You know, one night the ovulus could be going crazy, and the next night it's dead silent. It's like it's on their terms. It's not on your terms. It's their terms.
So you saying the spirits can show you various moments and things like that. Have you ever established a connection with the spirit to the point to where you can convince the spirit to speak on one of the electronical devices?
there has been a certain spirit that I'm, you know, and there's an attachment to and stuff, but there hasn't been, I mean, no matter what it is, I always seem to get an answer from her. But, you know, I can't convince her to speak on it. And I need you to say your name, you know, for me, this will help me and this will help you. You know, I can't convince her to do that. She's going to do it on her own time. And just like she says, I can do it at other times. You know, it's just, it's a 50-50. They're not necessarily going to take orders from me regardless of how close they feel to me.
Yeah, and I think some spirits have a sense of humor and they enjoy making us seem crazy to everyone else.
Yes. And very, I mean, you know, there's a certain couple spirits that I, you know, I'm familiar with that are around often that love the whole, you know, playing games, you know, moving stuff around on you to make you feel like you're losing your mind. Like, they love to play games just as well as we do, especially, you know, children. They, or adult, you know, adults do it too. They want you to, you know, to guess, like, well, I left it here. How's it all the way across the room right now?
Yeah. So it's a tough question to ask. And everyone, of course, has a different answer, but what do you think is a ghost, in your own words?
See, I don't really necessarily use the word ghost. I more or less would call it a spirit.
Yeah.
I would think a spirit would be, you know, that soul or the rest of the person that is left. You know, you may physically die, but your spirit may stay. It may not pass on. You know, you don't always cross over. It's not always all that. Sometimes they stay, and they stay because they want, you know, they're confused. They don't understand what's going on. They have no clue. So I feel like, you know, the spirits, they stay where they want to go, and they may follow certain people around. They may do certain things for certain people. They may, you know, make things happen for certain people or make things bad for certain people.
Right, because at the end of the day, they're people. So there's no, I guess, in my opinion, there's no grand mystery to how they operate or anything like that. I think they're just a regular person, and they're going to act like a regular person. They just have limitations. Because
and that,
maybe
that's
on the
how
other side,
too. I look at it as a person.
Yeah. And, like, I noticed on a lot of TV shows, they talk to the spirits like they're 4 years old, and it's a pet peeve of mine.
Yes.
Because there's sometimes when there's been a few locations where we've had smart aleck spirits, we've had butthole spirits. It's like meeting new people. It really is.
Yes.
You just don't. You just don't take them home and contact them unless you want to have a spirit attachment, which I'm not too keen on attachments. I have one or two that I know of for sure, and it's interesting going to various locations and having the same names, the same voices pop up.
Yeah. Yeah, I very much so feel the same exact way about how it's definitely, I still look at it as a human. I don't look at it as a soul. I look at it as a human. I treat it, I talk to it like a human. You know, there's no difference except, you know, I can't always see you. I can feel you.
Right. So out of all your years in the paranormal researching and your experiences as a child, what would you say has been the scariest location you have investigated?
I would probably have to say Willowbrook. It's in Staten Island. And it's where the mentally handicapped children and the terrible, terrible things that have happened to the children there. I mean, the abuse you know, there's YouTube videos all over about it. You know, Waldo Rivera did a thing on the conditions because the conditions were so poor for the children. It's heartbreaking. And you think, you know, you're mistreated, you're neglected, you know, all these things happen, and then you pass on because of this. You're going to feel, you know, you're going to have so many emotions when you finally go. And you're going to continue
right,
with those
like
emotions. You're scared.
Justice,
yeah, you're going to.
Yeah, like justice hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, also, you know, in Staten Island, there's the crack killing, where there has been plenty of bodies that have not been found. But the land is still there. It's, you know, it's untouched. Now, my thing is, I believe that there are bodies still there. And, you know, the bodies they did find, you know, I think, you know, the guy that's in jail right now, I don't think it was just him. I think it was more than, you know, five or six people. Because, you know, it was supposed to be a satanic cult thing that did all this to these children.
Right.
Now, you have a mentally challenged child, then you have a satanic cult coming after them, and these are children of all ages.
Right.
So when you walk on the land, you know, you feel all of that. And why would you want to communicate with a human who, you know, in a previous time, a human caused you all this pain? You know, somebody else, a stranger, caused you so much pain. They took you from your family, your loved ones, your life. And now, why would you come up to some Joe Schmo who's trying to investigate? Because you're afraid they're going to hurt you.
Yeah, they're going to be pissed off, wanting revenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know the guy is in jail at the moment, but he is only convicted, I think, of a kidnapping, but not a murder, and then another murder of somebody else. Now, I would want to seek, not my personally, but in their eyes, I kind of want to seek that revenge in a sense, or justice.
Yeah.
You know, how, you kidnap me, and I'm dead. But yet you're in jail for kidnapping when I know for a fact you killed me. Like, to them, they can't put that much together, but they just don't understand.
Yeah, so, of course, they look for their own ways to bring justice or end it themselves. And then that's when you have stuff like the Greenbrier Ghost, the West Virginia, the ghost. The only time, I think, in history, the testimony of a spirit has been used to convict somebody. So it's a mess. When you really get down to the nitty gritty, it's all a mess.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. It's sad. It's sad because I've been in those situations where I felt their sadness. You know, I felt their pain and their sadness at the time, and it makes me want to break down and just give up. But in this sense, you know, you got to keep moving because there's a chance you could bring justice. Handfuls of children that are still not found.
Yeah, and it's stuff like that. Everyone has their own reasoning for being a paranormal investigator, whether it's they had experiences and they want answers, or they want to prove somebody, they want to win a bet, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think you're a paranormal investigator? What drives you?
I want to help. You know, I don't want to become rich. I don't want my name to be known. I don't want to be famous. I don't want any of that. What I want to do, if I am able to help one soul, to me, that's worth more than $1 million. You know, I already have an amazing family and all that. So I don't need as many friends. I don't need that. I just want to be able to help a soul get a message across. You know, maybe there's a message they want to tell a loved one. If I could be that person to give that message, that makes me feel complete. just to be able to help them.
So how do you think these spirits are able to find you? Do you think there's, like, in a spirit world, there's a beacon or something? How do you think they're able to find people with your abilities to give these messages to?
That they do know. You know, who can, I think it's kind of a shock to them. You know, kind of like in the movies, like, oh my goodness, they can see me. They can hear me, but others can't. I think in a sense they do know. And once you walk that ground that they once walked, or you went to where they passed away, I think once that person picked up on that energy, they kind of start that connection with, oh, this person connects with me.
Right. And that goes back to the whole, you don't have to have abilities, or everyone has abilities. I think everyone has abilities. And I know I read something a while back that said children up until I think age 5 or 6 are psychic.
Mm-hmm.
They have those abilities.
Yeah.
They just either choose not to believe it anymore, or they're told not to. So that's why a lot of times when children, little kids, or anything like that, they have a story to tell, I'm inclined to believe them right away.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's
teenagers. I have a personal experience with that one. Yes.
Would you mind sharing that story?
Yeah. My son was probably 5 or 6. 3, 4, around there. And we lived in this old apartment, and he would constantly talk about Tommy this, Tommy that, Tommy this. And, you know, there were no Tommies around. And so the one day I'm sitting there watching, and you know how kids lay down, they sit down, and they roll a ball back and forth. Well, that's what was going on. And the ball went into my son's closet and never came back out. And my son comes out, Tommy took my ball. That's not fair. Tell him he's being mean. You know, at that point, I didn't see a Tommy, and I didn't sense a Tommy. But my son did. But like I said again, to right now, he's completely blocking things out. And he calls me the crazy ghost lady. He just blocks it out completely, which is fine with me. You know, it may scare him, and I don't want that. So if he needs to block it to make himself feel safer, then I agree with that. But I'm sure later down the line, he may want to, you know, talk about it. Because right now, he doesn't want to talk about Tommy at all.
It makes sense. I mean, something like that, just thinking about all the imaginary friends that people I know they've talked about, so you think they're not imaginary at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they're spirits. Yeah. And then there's people that think there's no such thing as ghosts or spirits at all. They think it's interdimensional creatures or aliens messing with us, or there's some weird frequency emitted by the government. It's like we said earlier, it's all a mess when you try to really explain it.
You can't convince somebody that there is a life after death. You know, everyone believes in different things. You know, I just recently heard from somebody that there is no life after death. Once you're done, you're done. There is no staying around. Your soul crosses over once you are gone. And, you know, I didn't argue with them because there's no sense to. But it's like, I do believe that there's a reason that some of them stay around. They're not ready. They have a message to give. There could be many of things they stayed around for.
Yeah, and then the people, of course, they always say, there's no life after this. That's it. There's nothing. My follow-up question to that is, well, how would you know? Did you die and come back to life with all the answers?
And then I've never seen it.
just like I've never seen an elephant. I have never seen a giraffe. But I know they exist. But I've never seen one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of thing. So With haunted locations, they're everywhere. It doesn't have to have death or a traumatic event or anything like that. What are three locations that's on your radar right now you want to investigate?
I would like to investigate Willowbrook a little more. Right now, it is, you know, off to the public, so we will have to contact the township to see if that is even an option. You know, that's my main right now. But, you know, there's plenty, I get messages all the time about new places that I want to, even places by my house, just because, you know, my home, I've had shamans at my home. I've had all types of people at my home that have verified there's something in there. And I know there's something in there.
Yeah.
So right now, it's kind of just investigating here and there, doing, you know, houses. Some people have reached out and actually want an investigation done of their home because they're concerned. And that leads to, there's a group called NJ Rope Paranormal, who my husband and I are working with, that they are a resolution team. They get cases that come out and they want stuff removed. You know, that's, you know, private homes or so, you know, everything confidential and stuff like that. And then there's other places that just peek and I'll drive by a place and I'm like, there's something about that place I want to go into.
Yeah. So you mentioned New Jersey, and I've been completely fascinated with New Jersey, especially the Jersey Devil. Have you ever thought
about Jersey Devil,
going check out the Jersey Devil?
I will be there in June. I'll be there for 7 whole days.
Wow. Are you going to go to the Leeds? Are you going to the Leeds home in the cemetery?
I believe so, yeah. We actually have it set up with another couple who is an investigator. So we're kind of working together. And we have, in June, we have 7 days set aside. We're going to go there. And we're going to do the whole New Jersey Devil thing, and we're going to do as much work as we possibly can. And hopefully,
wow, so,
you know, we can catch some things. That would be great.
Yeah. I mean, all my life I've been interested in the Jersey Devil, but there's a list of very few things I will not investigate. It would be the Bunny Man Bridge in Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah.
I won't do dog
Which
men.
Is actually
just
close
something
to where I'm from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I will not do the Jersey Devil. There's just something creepy about the sketches of it and all stuff. And that happens with certain locations. And I want to know if this happens to you, but you read about the claims of a place, you see the pictures and all that stuff. Do you ever see a location or a person, you just get like an evil feeling about them that just disturbs you to no end? Does that ever happen?
Yeah. I get that extreme. You know, there's been previous cases where it's an extreme negativity. You know, it's a negativity with people or a place. It's just, it stands out like a sore thumb.
So can they leave an imprint on anything they're featured? Like, if there's a picture of them posted online, do you think there's an imprint of their energy on that?
I believe so. Because I've looked at plenty of pictures, and I'm like, whoa, something's not right there, you know? So I definitely believe that a picture can capture that. You know, in the back in the day, they wouldn't take pictures because they say, or what was it, the Amish won't take pictures because it say it captures your soul. So I do believe.
And there's probably something to that.
Yeah. Yep. So I very well do believe. I do believe that.
So Pennsylvania, of course, has a lot of interesting locations. It's got Civil War history. It's got Revolutionary War. Have you ever checked out Gettysburg?
You're hitting all the spots I'm going to. I'm going to Gettysburg next weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm going there from Friday, Saturday to Sunday.
Lucky. I know.
So we'll
be
there investigating all weekend.
Wow. I know a lot of people I've talked to about Gettysburg, they say if you're there in the evening time or in the very early morning, you can actually see ghost regiments walking around.
I've heard that.
So,
I've heard that, yeah.
That's
I've done some research
to watch out
about
for.
It. Yeah, yeah. We're actually going there. I couldn't be more excited because, you know, me and my husband looked into that months ago about going to Gettysburg. And then it just
yeah.
happened the couple I'm working with now, you know, he's like, he's already done Gettysburg. He's like, I'd love to take you back, see what you pick up. And I'm like, I'd love to go.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll definitely let you know after to see how next weekend goes.
Well, thank you. I can't wait to hear how that goes. And, of course, the Jersey Devil. You mentioned some other investigations. What other investigations do you have planned so far?
Just the Gettysburg. We've got the New Jersey Devil. We're going to Lake Champlain.
For Champy?
Where? Yeah. Yeah, we're going there. And, you know, like I said, the, I can't remember the name all of a sudden. Willowbrook and Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other places, but mostly residential. St.
Mm-hmm.
Albans is the one that I'd really like to go to.
St. Albans is awesome.
That's what I keep hearing. Yep.
Just word of advice, watch for Jacob Broom, watch the Goat Man in the bowling boiler room, and then watch
yes.
the Muffin Man shape-shifting creature on the second floor hallway.
Yes. I've
and
heard
for
of
the love
those.
Of God,
I
do
actually
not
have
chase
a couple,
it. What?
Yeah, I've actually had a couple close friends that have worked at St. Albans or have been to. So, yeah, I've been warned about all that, and believe me, I'll steer clear.
Okay, good. I know one of the biggest mistakes I ever made is I saw about a 7.5-foot tall creature at a doorway a few feet from me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
that's
and
crazy.
So I chased it. Yeah, and I chased it, which is, of course, you don't do. Everyone listening
no.
to the show right now, you should not chase anything. And I
and
chased
nothing.
It through this room that I call it the psychedelic little Nemo room, because it's got a bunch of clownfish
okay.
painted, and it's got an octopus. And
oh, wow.
next thing that we run out to the hallway, and the thing stops, and it turns around, and it's completely dark. It's black, but its
yeah.
eyes and mouth stick out, and it's just sitting there, or standing there, 7.5 feet tall, smiling at me. And I'm about 3 feet
my.
From it. And all I can feel is just heat and just evilness from it. So that's something to watch
yeah.
out for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something scary, the whole demonic issue. That's another issue in itself.
Right. And tell them whether it's something's demonic or it's like a tulpa
negative.
Or it's an elemental.
Yeah.
I think
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't know that there's more to the paranormal than just spirits, angels, and demons. There's a
yes.
whole lot more
yep.
that goes into it, and it spans every
mm-hmm.
continent on Earth.
Yeah. And if people are quick to name something demonic, but what if it's just negative?
Right.
You know, you never know. Someone, oh, I've got this demonic thing living in my house. I think I forget who it was recently. Someone swore up and down. And it's like, well, what if it's just I never got that feeling. It was just negative.
Yeah.
You know, someone, it was actually my house. It was my house. Someone kept telling me I had, you know, demonic beings in my home. And this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and me, I want to see the good in everything. So I'm like, well, what if
right.
it's just negative? What if it just wants its own space? It can have its own space. But, I a shaman took care of it for me. Everything's been great. It's still there. It just doesn't bother us.
Yeah. I mean, spirits have bad days, too.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
So, right now we have 8 minutes left on the show. So,
Before
we, of course, sign off, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. What is your advice for new people getting into the paranormal field?
Don't just jump into anything. Make sure you're be prepared for the worst, because you never know what you're getting into. And if you have that ability that you don't even know you have, you could be going into a death trap. Because you never know what you're going into. People are so quick, I'm going to go on investigation. Okay, are you prepared for what could happen? Do you know what you're walking into? No one does. So, some people just go into it blind for the fun of it. And, yeah, it is fun. I'll be the first to admit it's fun. But some people aren't prepared. You have to have your guard up. Because they'll use your energy. They'll use you. Some can physically harm you. It's not something to play around with. But I do, I didn't know what I was doing when I started. But I wouldn't change it now for anything.
The experiences you had made you a better investigator and all that stuff.
Yes. And the support system behind me is amazing. If it wasn't for my husband dragging me around places, and then, the close friends I have that are bringing me into these new places, I would, I'd still be sitting at home. So I'm very appreciative and grateful for previous cases, people that are in my life now, cases to come. It's an amazing family, basically.
And it's all that stuff is what makes this a great field to get into, not just talking with the other side and hearing their stories, but the cool locations, the road trips, the people you meet. It's usually stuff like that that I remember about a trip sometimes more than the activity.
Yes. There's been people that I know that are fully, completely afraid of it, that are, Christians. They don't play around. But yet I get that phone call constantly from her, like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on now? What are you doing? She wants to know, but she would never cross that line.
Right.
So everybody's got that interest.
Yeah, and then that is where they kind of rely on you as a paranormal investigator to take your voice recorders and your cameras and get evidence so that they can experience it with you without going through everything you have to as a paranormal investigator.
Yeah, of course.
So one final question before we have to get off here. Do you think the paranormal field will ever be proven to everybody, or do you think there will always be skeptics?
There's always going to be skeptics. There's always going to be, just like with aliens or Bigfoot, there's always going to be skeptics. Until we have proof, until I capture a spirit in a glass jar, no one's going to believe it. So there's always going to be skeptics. I mean, I'll try to catch one, but I mean, if I can, I can't.
So mentioning UFOs and also, if you believe in anything other than spirits like UFOs, Bigfoot, anything like that?
Yes, I definitely believe in, UFOs, extraterrestrial. I believe in all of that. Bigfoot, I've never seen. I've never really studied upon it. I've never done any research on Bigfoot. But that's something I'm open to learning everything. Because it goes hand in hand with paranormal in a way.
Yeah, they could be from the same dimension for all we know.
Yeah, you never know. Anything is possible. I don't doubt anything anymore.
Oh, yeah, this The world seems like it's getting stranger every year.
Yes.
I mean, you would.
Yes.
I thought about halfway through last year, I had seen just about everything. And then, of course, the killer clown thing hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, the killer clown thing. That was. Yeah, I was actually. There was kids that were dressing up as the clowns at my son's school. So he was afraid. I'm like, these are little kids, but they're putting themselves in a line of fire because even if a cop sees them dressed up like that, they're going to shoot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's intense. It really is.
It's just one of those crazy things that I guess has to be like a sore thumb or the imprint
mm-hmm.
that year has.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Barbara, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. It was really good having you on the show. I really enjoyed talking to you about the paranormal. If people want to contact you and ask you questions or anything like that, how can people get a hold of you?
They can reach me on Facebook. It's Barbara Marie Ramsey, and I have an Instagram, which is the same thing. Or they can email me at bmramsey89@gmail.com.
Well,
but again, I'm very appreciative for having me on the show, and I thank you very much. My first radio show.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah,
my
first
one. You couldn't tell us.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go ahead and let you go. Thank you for being on the show. Hopefully I'll get you on again sometime, and you have a good night.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, everyone, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show as much as I did. I know it's kind of different from the Mixler, the solo shows, and also for a few months, and then all of a sudden going back to having guests. And I am going to start introducing guests more onto the show. I have some shows planned that I want to do that's historical, paranormal, conspiracy, different things like that. And I'm going to start having more guests on. So what I'm going to do is the solo shows. I'm going to do my solo shows on Mixler, and I'm going to do my guest shows on Blog Talk. So for my Mixler, of course, you go to www.mixler.com/hourofenlightenment. So you'll go over to my live page, go ahead and hit follow, and that will give you a text alert or anything like that whenever I go live. And I am going to probably, the next time I go to a location, do a short thing just to talk about the location I'm at. Keep an eye out on the Hour of Enlightenment Facebook page. I'm going to start doing some more little videos and things like that to get you engaged. But I hope you all enjoyed tonight's episode of Hour of Enlightenment. I'm your host, Jake Fife. Have a good night, everybody.